Roll call. Janelle Goffin's here.
Calling over.
Angel Aparicio Reyes, city councilor.
Doris Ponsner here.
Kevin Lewis, Long Beach business owner here.
Bill Brannigan.
Derek Tucker. Doris Smith.
Welcome. I think it's your first time here.
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for coming. It's your first time here, too.
No,
I missed it.
You
were for Zoom or something. You're on a roll. Approval of minutes. Did everybody have a chance to see the minutes from last meeting? Mm-hmm. And can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last
meeting? Motion to approve.
All those in favor?
I'll second the second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. The minutes have been approved, and we'll pass it over to Derek for the meeting agenda.
Okay. So here's what I've got for the meeting. We've got the preliminary statistics, kind of comparing summer 2024 to 2025. I put that up here on the big screen. It's the there are handouts with each of the slides as well. I'd like to kind of run through that. And then we had included, I can touch briefly on where we're at with the Bayfront Sidewalk Project. I did not have time to put together a schedule for Night Beach engagement as we plan for rollout summer 26. So we'll have that for you next meeting, but we can certainly, I'm happy to hear if there are specific things you'd like to see on that schedule when we bring it forward for discussion at your next meeting. It'll be a good time for us to cover that. And then we'll wrap up with Corin talking about enforcement issues. So I'll start with the statistics here. I've got this up. And our new city recorder was spending some quality time in the vault with our old records and ran into a number of scrapbooks. And I pulled these from the late 70s. Bayfront looks, does that look familiar? Merchants want more money spent on parking. Limits sought on parking on basically the Bayfront. The parking study, the one we did in 2016 through 2018 was not the first one. Different solutions were mulled. Planning Commission was engaged. And if you go through those records, you'll see that periodically that cycle would happen. In this case, this actually led to the purchase of, I believe, the Canyon Way properties for parking lot purposes. But we ran out of surface areas to try to scrunch in parking. And so the palette of options in terms of solutions has changed over time. And so I just thought it was interesting.
It's awesome.
So.
I mean, talk about story, right?
Yeah.
Nothing.
So, what did we gather? Difference between 2024 and 2025? Well, we actually had an uptick in transactions, so you'll see that's pretty significant. 2025 is the orange line there, and it's pretty uniform across the entire summer. And that's that normal curve we have. May starts to ramp up, peaks in July, August, comes back down. Now, remember, October would be through October 21st is when I pulled the numbers, so it's a short month there.
Can I interrupt? Or
no? Yeah, go.
Last year, you gave us a more of a Excel format breakdown. Do you have something like that?
I have the numbers.
Yeah.
Where I've summarized them in this manner. I also have the.
Oh, I don't see. Is that one? Was that one on the
team? No, I
don't. Oh,
not.
Okay.
Then I also have the T2 summary reports that I've attached. And we can upload these.
You don't have to. You didn't have copies of those, right?
Nope, I didn't make copies. I was trying not to throw too much at you since you didn't have any packet.
Can we look at that, or pass it around, or afterwards?
Yeah.
Or?
Afterwards, however, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, because I'd love to see the actual numbers.
the we're continuing, you know, in terms of, you know, one of the principal objectives with going with demand management, which paid parking, was to get people to change their parking behavior and to get better stall turnover, and we continue to track in that direction. That's average transaction 224, 226. When we did the parking study, we didn't have demand management, so that was actual observed turnover rates by the consulting team, and that was an average length of stay of 2 hours and 38 minutes. So average transactions are best proxy for that, and it shows that we're more or less we're getting better turnover, and that's holding steady between the 2 years. Revenues. This is the 2024.
I'm sorry, Derek, to clarify on the average transaction.
Yeah.
If someone pays for 3 hours and then leaves in an hour, is it logged because they were there for 3 hours? Do we know?
There's no way for us to know if they paid for more and then they left early.
Yeah.
Or if they overstayed by 20 minutes and got away with it.
Yeah.
There's no way for us to know.
Okay.
We would have to deploy other technology for us to be able to do a full apples-to-apples comparison, which means basically putting eyes on the stalls, which there are ways to do that. When we originally had this out for solicitation and different vendors pitched their proposals, one of the proposals did involve putting monitoring equipment on the sidewalks that would capture when vehicles come in and out, but it was... It was a lot of equipment, a lot of maintenance, a lot of cost, and ultimately felt that was a bridge beyond where we wanted to go at the time. There are other vendors that are also pitching now overhead cameras to monitor and provide some reporting on that, where you put them on ornamental light poles, for example. But we haven't gone down that path. So
It's not that big, but I was just curious.
Yeah. So this is, that's why I say it's a proxy. It's the best we can do.
It would be interesting to see if merchant sales, how much they have increased because of higher turnover. Probably can never get to it.
I mean, we were up both of our Bayfront locations.
So that's tracking with the increased activity.
I don't know if anybody else, but
the Oregon Main Store, I know the manager, she says they were up this year.
Yeah, cover count and sales.
Okay, so that's tracking with the stats, which is good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So I have both the 24 and the 25 here. One thing that I found particularly interesting is when I'm looking at the two. One, just to be clear, the big spike in permits in May is because I pull in the April numbers because everybody's renewing in April for May. And so we have a huge surge of permit transactions happening in that time frame. So June, July, and August give you a better sense of the relative, you know, what's coming in from where. And it's interesting when you look at the, between the 2 years, what I'm finding is a pretty significant jump. I'm going to go to 25 now. If you look at the pie chart.
Yeah, mobile pay.
Mobile pay has become a much larger percentage. It jumped from basically 50-50 to almost two-thirds. Now the transactions are happening via mobile pay.
It's funny that the 2 years, the tickets stay about the same.
Well, we're talking about we do need to talk a little bit about parking tickets because that one surprised me. Our revenues in parking between 24 and 25, I mean, parking tickets have never been the big
right.
piece. That's always the small piece. But in 24, it was about $30,000 collected. In 25. It's about 15, so about half that. And we were like, why did that happen? Because first we've taken a look at that. And so Jason, or Chief Loy, went ahead and pulled the stats on that. And it wasn't a function of tickets. Tickets were being issued at more or less the same pace. But there's a little handout on that. But you'll notice collections from 24, I mean, we had a 60% plus collection rate, and that dropped all the way down to just under 30% collection for 25. And so...
You don't say anywhere in here what the actual revenue was?
The revenue, I just mentioned it. It's, and I do have it on these other ones. So,
okay.
So for, revenue overall?
Yeah, overall. I mean, back when we had our projections, did we hit the projections? Like, I don't, in any of this paperwork, I don't see any kind of...
You'll see it here.
Okay.
You're...
Oh, okay. Is that one in here? Okay, okay.
That's the last one.
Sorry.
And I have it broken down. I mean, we're trying. We have enough to cover program expenses and have a little bit left over for projects, but that's it. It's not particularly strong. I think getting Nye Beach on board will help balance that out a little bit. And I know one of the challenges our parking enforcement folks have is, I mean, Corn's responsible for enforcing the time parking in all three districts. And so we do have responsibilities to in those areas, and I think that's where we need a little bit of bigger base of contribution to balance that a little bit. What else is there? Oh, I was going to touch on here. You'll see on the revenue by location. You notice Herbert Lee.
Yeah.
We really beefed up our pay-to-park signage over there. Work to get some additional signs in. That was an area where we had merchants who were saying, hey, look, there's just not enough signage over here for folks. They're spaced out too wide. We got some additional signs in there.
And,
yeah, it appears to have worked. And then cash as a percentage of total transaction, the coins is a very small percentage. And it started off at just a shade over 3% of our transactions. Now it's under 2. So it's very, very small.
Yeah, but we knew that was the case.
Mm-hmm. We knew that. I mean, we had a healthy discussion about that, about whether or not we should offer it, and then just out of matter of equity, decided to do it. And we do have folks that utilize that option.
I think the other thing, too, a lot of people complain that they take coins and not bills. And a lot of people... They at least tell me they're way more apt to carry bills rather than quarters. And, which I don't even know if T2 offers a pay station that can take bills. But I know especially for the fact that the parking goes by even dollar amounts, people would much rather, put two $1 bills in rather than 8 quarters.
Yeah, I do believe that was an option that we... I mean, again, it's all how you have your pay stations configured and how much you want to handle the logistics of cash.
Yeah.
And the setup was a little bit different for bills as opposed to the coin boxes. So,
yeah, I actually never asked our hosts or anything if people are coming exchanging dollars for change.
Mm-hmm. It was quieter this year here at City Hall. We did not have a great deal of much in the way of feedback on the parking program down there, which I take it as a good thing.
What are your overall, this doesn't really have on your numbers, oh wait, maybe it does, how many permits?
Well, we stayed within the thresholds we'd set. Permits are a tougher one because it's variable. Some people will keep them through the summer, and then some will have them for just a month while they're working and then drop them. And so it's a little tricky on that. I can bring that forward for an upcoming meeting if you want to see the...
I mean, I think it's nice to actually see the numbers. I mean, visuals are awesome. But...
What I did notice is that the amount being collected is tracking with everything else. It was slightly, I'm fairly sure it was slightly up. We had, so permit revenue over 24 was just under 60,000. For 25, it was 62,390. So just a shade up over last year in terms of the total amount permits paid for, which means that just tells me that the number of permits is roughly in that same ballpark. So you're, in 2024, we had about 250,000 total across all payment platforms collected over these months. This year we had 263,000 and change.
So not that much more.
Not that much more, but a little, you know, it tracks that slight uptick.
Mm-hmm. Did you collect user data? Can you email these people later?
Which people? I'm sorry.
Anybody who paid a parking ticket or paid for parking? Can you contact them?
We do have the permit lookup information that we can look up, and that can be used to see if somebody said that, you know, there was a potential payment error. Those things can be resolved.
Or just even for a survey to see how they are liking the permit program, how we can improve it, mm-hmm. that kind of thing could be cool. And what about the sure. people who actually paid to park? Do you have their contact info?
I know we have some of that info in the system. I have to go back and look, Janelle, to see just how detailed it is and whether or not it would be sufficient to reach out to somebody.
I'm just thinking, like, you could use it for marketing next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever year. If you came in October, we send you a message.
Right.
You know, before October and said, hey, you visited Newport last October.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd like to give you a dollar off your parking.
Yeah, I just don't recall if it really extends beyond just capturing vehicle license plate numbers.
Okay.
And there will be those people who say, how did you get my information and why did you contact?
Sure, but if they signed up to pay to park, maybe they, I just don't
know. I think the permit is a good idea because those are all locals, so we'd get good information from that. Or maybe when they come to get their new permit is a time to say, hey.
Yeah.
They do it online. They do it online.
The Abbey Street lot continues to be the principal lot in terms of where payments come in terms of where by location that and Bay Street are your big ones. Fall Street, which is right there at the intersection of Fall and Bay Boulevard, is also popular. So,
did you by chance look at which payment type per station and see if there were any standout changes? Like if there's one station that everybody plays with coin? Or not coin, but
not
like
so
cash.
Coin. Yeah, I do have that in terms of, you know, which stations were more popular with mobile pay versus I don't have it on this sheet, but
just curious.
We can tease that out. My suspicion is, you know, where we have this bump up with Herbert and Lee on this particular slide, that was mobile pay, and that was part of, you know, that percentage swing for mobile pay being more popular this year than as opposed to last year. So that's what I have in terms of the statistics. I'm not sure, we'll take a harder look at the significant drop in collections on parking tickets to see what we can do, what the dynamics are there. That one really struck me as odd. I mean, that's a steep drop.
Well, but you're saying collected by collection.
But see, this is a big one. When you look at the sheet, you know, we have...
To me, it looks better. It's like way better. Right?
Well, in 2024, we, you know, we issued, your count there is what, 3,284. And we had over half of those paid before we had to send a notice out to them. And, you know, that 61% total collection rate when you know, is pretty impressive for that type of, I mean, parking tickets are notorious for low collection rates. You would typically expect about a 40% collection rate. But then you look at 2025, and it's roughly the same number of tickets were issued, but our collection, you know, the people paying before notice was sent much lower, and the overall collection rate's quite a bit lower. I'm not sure what the dynamic is on that one. So, for me to
Okay, so wait. So to understand, so collected by collections, there was 44 that were collected by collections.
Right, so
and
you
then,
had...
And that was date 82, because that's what day this report was run?
Yeah, so this is this grabs these and it says, okay, I mean, that gives you a sense of how long they've been in process by the time they get sent to collections.
Mm-hmm. So what's outstanding? So maybe it's just...
Well, that's where we've got a 30% collection rate. And whereas the previous year we had over a 60% collection rate.
Oh, okay.
And that explains the difference in revenue when I shared with you. You know, we had about $30,000 in parking ticket revenue in 24, with about $15,000 this year.
And same collection company both years?
Yeah. But you see, I don't know that when you look at them, I mean, collected by collections is about on par between the 2 years. It's just...
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering if we made any changes.
Is collected by collections just collections, or is that paid after notice sent?
Well, it would have been well after notice. It would have been just by collections at that point. That's where T2's folks
were engaged. But if I take a look at 2025 and collected by collections, there's no way in 2024 that...
Well,
I don't understand. I mean, how can you have collected by collections 48-44, and they had a 61% collection rate?
Because collections wasn't, because we had over half of the tickets were paid before we even had to send notice out. It never made it to collections. I mean, the gist of it is, you know, we were issuing more or less the same amount of parking tickets. Our collection rate was just considerably lower this year, and I'm not sure why. I'm not sure. There's a whole lot we can do about it on parking tickets, just given the nature of what they are. I do believe, Corn, if you could jump in on this, that the police department did reactivate the booth. So those where you have repeat tickets, substantial number of repeat tickets, as I recall, you would deploy that, right?
Mm-hmm. Which we didn't have very many deployments because the requirements of vehicles to be eligible for that boot are so high that people have to have a certain amount of citations and collections for that vehicle to be eligible to be immobilized. So, I mean, in the time that we began doing the booting of vehicles to now, I don't even think it hasn't even been 10 vehicles that have been booted. Because
yeah, I don't think we did any in 24, because I think Jason just getting that program going again.
Yeah, I believe so.
Who determines that cap number? You're saying it's way
it's
high.
It's in the municipal code.
And that's like...
It's four citations or more.
Four.
Unpaid in collections.
Oh, four. Okay.
Your collections not.
Yeah. Well, that's not that. I thought maybe he was going to say 15 or something.
No.
Oh, so.
But and the other thing is, you have to locate the vehicles too.
Right.
I mean, there's a list of vehicles that, you know, once they get sent to collections and after these notices have been sent, we can see, you know, where these people's residences are, and so a lot of them are from out of state, on the other side of Oregon. And so, you know, a lot of it comes down to locating the vehicle too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of vehicles who have, you know, more than that four unpaid citation mark, but locating the vehicle is a whole other problem.
And he also said last time, because you weren't here last time, is that some tires are too big for the boot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So are they being towed if you locate them?
No. That is a situation where we kind of have to figure out whether that's the route we want to go down. As of now, in the municipal code, we can't just tow a vehicle like that. There has to be notice. And so whether that means getting a boot that can fit on those larger tires, that's something that we've kind of been talking about, how we want to address that situation.
Well, isn't it the same kind of notice like you put on RVs and stuff when they don't move them? Couldn't you put that same kind of notice where they have so many days? And
we could, but the odds of them not moving the vehicle are very slim, which we've done in the past. We've had vehicles. One of the vehicles I actually did, I tried to put a boot on it, and it wouldn't fit, and we ended up marking that vehicle because it was inoperable, and
right.
I mean, it was totally legal for us to do all that, but it was gone. So, yeah, that's a situation.
You know,
it's just
smart
something that's going to have to be addressed with that, because there's a lot of those vehicles that do have tires that
Yeah, especially here.
What size tire does it go up to?
Are you going to change your tires?
Huh?
Are you going to change your
tires? No, my truck already has bigger tires.
So that, I don't know the specific number. I mean, a lot of it comes down to, I mean, in the situation, there's been times where I thought that the boot wouldn't fit, and it didn't work.
Yeah, just because, I mean, just driving around town, you see a lot of these cars now are, they're putting wider and thicker tires on them, so.
I mean, the boot can extend pretty wide.
Okay.
A lot of it, I mean, it's got to be a pretty oversized tire for it not to fit.
Okay, so. I mean, everybody's putting 33s and 35s on their trucks,
mm-hmm.
and then the same thing with the cars.
I think the biggest tire that I probably did was probably ended up marked like 33 to 35 inch.
Yeah, because yeah, I know a lot of the bigger trucks now are coming standard with 33 inch mm-hmm. tires.
Yeah.
So would that be something that would be better to just get the boots that can fit on those bigger vehicles?
Could
Are
you?
There enough of them?
Probably,
to be booted?
Yeah. And a lot of it, too, is motorhomes and RVs as well.
Oh.
Well, boots are probably expensive.
Yeah.
You know, this was just our first blush looking at this, when we pulled the numbers together. And so I'll be doubling back with Jason. We'll take a harder look at that. What's behind this. We have a significant increase in. For example, people that are getting multiple visits as opposed to what we had in 24. That'll help inform maybe future discussion on whether or not we want to make adjustments. We can always make adjustments to what's in the municipal code, but we want to be thoughtful about it.
And
some additional information on that, I think, would be helpful in that regard.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it goes above muni code, because I know like in California, when I'm working there, parking tickets, certain states, you get a parking ticket,
mm-hmm.
and it goes to collections, it goes to DMV.
Mm-hmm.
And DMV does not, if you don't pay your ticket, you don't get your registration.
Oh, that's right. They did that in Massachusetts.
Yeah, yeah, there's also
I guess
some,
that doesn't happen here in Oregon, so.
In some areas, you can sync that up with rental car companies as well. So it's a rental car that got tagged with a parking ticket. It gets taken care of via the rental agreement. We'll look into that.
As far as the numbers for either the next meeting or just in general, are you going to be presenting the numbers to this committee, or is it something that you just present to council, or is it just because you didn't get a chance to print them out for us?
I'm happy to bring whatever numbers you think would be helpful.
Okay.
So if you'd like more detail in terms of the specific dollar amounts, these reports are fairly detailed.
Yeah, I'll look at them
all
later.
And
I just,
you gave us of the last year's,
yeah.
You had it all in detail.
Yeah.
I didn't know if
it was a policy change or if it was just a...
No, this was, I was
yeah.
running in with,
totally.
You guys had nothing in your packet, and I didn't want to dump big piles of
yeah. yeah.
So I wanted to just cover it in summary form with
yeah.
the slides and...
Yeah, I got it.
We can upload this with the packets. You have that
okay.
for reference. I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
That's all I have for statistics. So just briefly with respect to the Bayfront, the sidewalk improvement project is moving on along. We're in the process right now of doing one-on-one meetings with property owners who have driveway approaches that we're going to... plan to either shrink down in size or eliminate entirely depending on the location. And so we've met with several folks in that regard. We also have had further discussions with the port on that one parking lot, the port.4. owns the property, and Port Dock Ford is in a position where they would be comfortable doing a 10-year agreement with the port, which I think aligned with our thinking that if it was 10 or more years, it would make sense for us to make some modest investments to improve pedestrian safety and functionality of things working through there. And so we'll continue that discussion with the Port Dock Ford folks. These changes are changes we're planning to do during the off season because it's largely concrete work, which is not quite as sensitive to weather, so we can squeeze that in when it's not as disruptive to the bayfront businesses. That's our plan of attack at this point. The third item was just, as I mentioned, I didn't have time to get a schedule pulled together for going back out and having further discussions with Nye Beach. We can have that teed up for your next meeting, and we're looking to implement, you know, May of 26, so we still have time. We did a fair amount of outreach last year before we elected to defer it for a 12-month period because we were running tight on time at the end there. But are there some specific things you'd like me to include in that schedule or want to make sure are accounted for that come to mind? We'll have an opportunity to discuss in detail for next
week. Yeah, I know and I think you already just got it figured out, was the Visual Arts Center.
Yeah.
Volunteer stuff. That was a big, huge thing.
Right, and we had a chance to meet with them and kind of hammer that out, but we'll have to double back with them because it's been a little bit of time and want to make sure to refresh that conversation and then also work with them on timing of the changes they can get their staff.
And then I know we discussed it last meeting. Are we moving forward with Don and Ann Davis Park?
I think the thought was that we were going to put that out there as a potential option and see how folks react to that. I thought that's where we left it.
Okay. Yeah, because I think we all agreed on it. So,
has there been any new developments in terms of developing down there that would adjust the availability of parking?
Well, the biggest was a hotel, but they do provide their own parking as well.
But since All Red opened? Mm-hmm. Is there more hotels, you're saying?
No, just just All Red. And, you know, that restaurant right next to that is, you know, closed right now.
Right.
But, who knows when that's going to back up.
Yeah. I think in the meeting it would be good to kind of highlight what's being done on the bayfront from the revenues. You know, because if you walk Nye Beach, the sidewalks are cracked. I think that would be helpful because I think there is a misunderstanding that it's going to where the money comes. Because I think that, especially as a community, I think they'd think, oh, so it is going to improve. The city's just not taking money. Because these are great projects that are being done. So, especially if you walked it ahead of time and had in your mind, we'll be able to fix this, and this curb, and... Now, will you do that at the Nye Beach? They do their own kind of community meeting.
Well, you have the Nye Neighbors.
Yes, Nye Neighbors.
I'll be reaching out to get that. That would be one venue for us to have a neighborhood meeting, and I think we'll need to do that.
Yeah.
We'll also be meeting with individual parties down there, such as. I'm going to need to meet with John Lee because lodging has its own component and how lodging is going to work. We'll want to get some information out to short-term rental owners, which we have there because of the licensing, we have their information because it's going to impact them as well. And then, you know, some of the larger, I met with Mike Franklin previously, Chowder Bowl, you know, start talking to some of the businesses one-on-one.
And then one thing, we had a conversation just before, I don't see anywhere on the plans that you're going to put any kind of handicap parking in Nye Beach. And
the extent to which we do have some ADA parking. In fact, we have a compliance issue on the
Where is it? Because I drove all around today, couldn't find one handicap parking place in Nye Beach.
We certainly have them at the Performing Arts Center.
Well, right, but not
at the back, on the upper parking area. But it's not compliant.
Yeah.
So it's not a particular use if it's not compliant.
Because that's some feedback I got is that you know, you don't want to put it down at the turnaround because if you're using a walker to come up the hill.
Yeah, the challenge is just, you know, when our terrain is tough, and if you're going to put us ADA spaces and you really need to have them in a location where it's accessible from the parking area to some venue.
Right.
Be it the visual arts center, performing arts center, restaurants, something. If we don't have the grades to achieve that, we don't want to put something in there as ADA and sign it, and then, you know, it's in a location where folks who have the disability can't maneuver anywhere.
Right. Because there are some good spots, like just before where the dry cleaner used to be, where that empty parking lot is, just almost across from Cafe Stephanie. It's pretty wide there, those two spots. I used to work with folks with disabilities, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, that would be, it's wider than some of the other places because of the indentation. So I was thinking maybe somewhere like that, because I know that the community will ask about that, because there are people who come with walkers, and they're not going to walk all the way from the pack. And they get dropped off, which then stops traffic. And
I'll look in again at that lot where the laundry used to be.
Yeah, it's just before it. It's where the abortion people have their signs. It's where it's cut out a little wider than the rest of it on that street.
Is it where SJ Custom Jewelers used to be?
No, it's just
in between.
It's in between. But it kind of has a weird, the sidewalk kind of gets narrow, but it's a great space because it's wider.
Yeah.
The, as I think I mentioned to you before, you know, we regularly have folks, what about that parking lot next to the old, where the laundry used to be, and that has environmental liability issues that make it untouchable effectively from the city. Even leasing it can open up the city being a potentially liable party for cleaning up the environmental contamination.
Well, how is it able to even be used then? How did they tar it over and use it if it's not environmentally safe? Why is it not?
I think it's a structure of the state's environmental laws.
Oh.
And you know, they basically flag it as liability. A private party can go in, and if they don't care about being a potentially liable party or are willing to take on that risk, then, you know, they can make that judgment.
It's one of those, if you go in to develop it, you might be opening a can of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, right now the top's on it.
Yeah, he just put a top on it.
Right, and that's about all that can be done under the DEQ rules. You can't have businesses, you can't have residents, anything that would have
people. Oh,
they
can never build there.
Not until it's addressed.
Yeah.
It could just be a surface level.
It's too bad, because it's a great.
But, you know, because that stuff moves, you know, it could certainly impact neighboring properties and people, you know, living in the area. And our policymakers, you know, had to look at that and said, no, that's too much risk, you know, public money getting sucked into having to clean that up. It's unfortunate because it's a great location.
And since Tap House closed, I know there's signs up saying the mobile pay to park in that lot, because I know Tap House was kind of running that, but now that that's closed, is that even being?
Yeah, they're all just still enforceable.
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
Because I know it was full all summer.
It's going
so
to the
curious.
Bank, from what I understand, because
yeah,
it's in foreclosure.
Oh, yeah, it's in foreclosure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not stupid, but we should try to turn it into parking.
Yes. Thank you on the ADA. We'll take a look at it. It's always a challenge for us to try to hodge in accessible parking in linear.
Yeah.
On these linear routes where you only have parallel or angled parking, because the ADA specs for getting in accessible spaces parallel aren't easy to meet.
Sure. Yeah. It's great because it fits wider vehicles too. Because it's just a, I don't know why it was ever cut out that way, but.
Any other things you'd like this to account for when we put this schedule together?
We have our next NNA meeting, the 6th. I can kind of get feedback from everybody that's there. And then I can email you and say, hey, here's some things that were brought up.
Okay.
Because off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
That's fair. And
I know when we reach out, there's going
to
be.
And I'll put a schedule together for you to react to for the next meeting. So
okay.
Where we can have a healthy discussion about it. I just didn't have a chance to get it pulled together for this meeting. So the only other item we had on the agenda was parking enforcement. Corin, I know you had some announcement, but you have some other things. This is your opportunity to share how things went this summer.
I think things went well. I think a lot of what has to do with the collections rate is kind of, myself and Chief talked about it a little bit. I think a lot of it is just lack of consequence as well. I think last year, a lot of those repeat offenders who were getting, citations were at least thought that there wasn't going to be any kind of consequence for it. And that's where I think this year kind of just added on to that, people not paying because nothing was happening when they weren't paying. And when they weren't paying those citations, at least that's my idea of it.
Which brings the point of, if we have their contact information, mm-hmm. we could send them a text that says, okay, you haven't paid it, you need to pay it, this is the repercussion, even if it's just like a scary text, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'd like to see, repeat offender, how is that climbing? Is it climbing at a significant pace? We probably want to dig into that, because if it is, then it's probably worth our time to sit down and, well, what could we do to tamp that down?
Yeah. So
what is within our realm of legal options?
And so I don't know if that's reassessing the immobilization, part of the municipal code and figuring out if we need to rework that, whether it's, however many citations or, I don't know if that's something that needs reassessed or... So I think, at least me personally, I've noticed a lot of vehicles that they rack it up and they just don't pay because for whatever reason. So
it'd be curious to know if it's the same offenders 24 and 25. Because at what point can you legally send a bench warrant to them for failure to pay?
I think that could definitely...
But that gets
you some looking into.
If that's climbing, that's where we would have a responsibility to figure out what kind of palette of options can we bring forward to addressing it.
I mean, especially if there's one or two people that it's two. Now we have 2 years of history on them, and they're refusing to.
Right.
And you can't find their vehicle.
And then probably the other thing, which I brought up before, which I'm sure you guys hear about plenty, but the signage too.
Mm-hmm.
All summer long, that's the biggest complaint, and continue to be the biggest complaint to today. I hear about it daily about the signage. A lot of
what
it is
the height, or
just the lack of signage, which I think a lot of it is people are used to the meter stuff with having a physical meter in every single parking space. Which obviously isn't what we have.
Do you think if there was larger signs on the approach to and from the bayfront, it would help? Like you're coming into this parking area?
We added those too.
Yeah, there is signage.
But bigger?
I mean, they're pretty large.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Las Vegas
is
big.
Yeah.
Pay parking ahead.
And then another thing on top of the signage is people not knowing where to pay. I think something that would be hugely beneficial would be putting up big signage above where the pay stations are,
oh,
so
pay
people
here.
Know where it is.
In fluorescent green.
Yeah, I mean a big,
yeah,
or whether it's bright blue pay station here.
Yeah.
Like I mean, just because the pay stations aren't that tall, and
that's true.
All of them are near where people are parking, and so there's plenty of spots where if you're across the street from the pay station unit, you're not going to see it behind a vehicle, whether it's a sedan or a pickup truck. I mean, they're just, you can't see them. So I think signage above or near where those pay stations are could be very helpful as well.
We did talk about it last meeting. That was because I think
we
Chief
can't
was here.
Aim them.
But it was one of those, and we were looking at different spots, but it's a matter of
I think you, like you said, it's got to be, if it's going to be on a pole, it's got to be above a certain height so people are digging their head and other places. So there's
really, yeah,
it's trying to identify the right spot to do it as the.
Yeah, which, I mean, is that something that we could put, I mean, a post in right by the pay station? Because, I mean, I don't, at least to my knowledge, none of the pay stations are underneath a covered area.
We'd have to take a look at that.
So, on this map, it says kiosk location. Those are all pay stations?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, is there any signage in between those pay stations, or are they just near the pay stations?
Oh, there's gobs of signage in between those pay stations. There's quite a, there's actually quite a bit of PETA Texta Park stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, that the actual station itself doesn't have
a because even, yeah, even on those signs, people might see the sign, but there's no directional where it is the pay station.
Yeah.
So even if it was, you know, pay station this way, you know, just anything like that.
Yeah.
The emergency phones in, like, the parking lots, the blue light.
Totally, like some kind of light or something.
Well, people are certainly figuring out the Texta Park. I mean, like I showed you, that's now two-thirds of the payments coming through the, you know, the QR codes and texting.
Yeah, with that too, I mean, that has its flaws as well.
Yeah.
You get a lot of complaints about that, which a lot of it is because the mobile pay is cellular-based. And I know, at least for me, I mean, I was a fisherman, so I was down there a lot. The cell service can be spotty depending on what provider you have. So a lot of the times, those QR codes don't work.
And now, I know some towns do free Wi-Fi in certain public areas. Like, could we do guest Wi-Fi on the bayfront? I don't know how.
At the parking meters. At the
pay
stages.
Yeah, like.
But yeah, I know. Yeah, I know
even if we had that, I mean, these are going to be enough bandwidth to.
Totally. I don't know. Yeah.
But
because, yeah, I mean, at least because I'll see tons of people struggling with it and saying it's not working. And so, and a lot of the time I'll see people trying to use it and I'll just kind of let them know that if they have problems with it, tell them where the pay station's at.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're a little more trusty in that sense. But I was surprised to see that statistic of the mobile pay.
So on that, bouncing off your Wi-Fi idea, there is restricted Wi-Fi where you can just say it can only be used for this or that, and that could be another thing we could look
into
also.
That's true. The city just can like do the restricted Wi-Fi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The same way the airplanes do. They can only be on their program, and that's
right.
It. You can't go off and do other stuff.
Nobody's bringing their laptop down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can only go once you hit the QR code, you can sign into the Wi-Fi if you need it, and then you can pay that way, and then that's all you can do. You can't go online or anything else.
So I'm just putting this out here as a total just little idea that may turn into something. The Sealand Foundation could offer free Wi-Fi with that kind of system because everybody's on that pier. That way we could capture the emails of the people who are getting it and use it for promotion. They could get free Wi-Fi and we get their email. If you're interested in that, I can talk to the Sealand Foundation. Just because that's where the most people are on
the
dock. And we have a meeting next week.
I just don't know if offering Wi-Fi is going to really address a bandwidth issue. I just don't know off the top of my head. You know,
well, I don't.
Whether or not it's Wi-Fi or just
it's
individual.
It's the cellular
access,
issue.
Or if it's still dealing
or
with
if
the
it's
bandwidth.
A T2 issue, it could be anything.
But did they use Starlink, do you know?
Who?
The foundation that you said that you just talked about some group that you.
That's expensive.
I don't know what they use. If they use Starlink, they...
No, currently they don't have they don't have Wi-Fi. I'm just saying that they could, whether it's Starlink or something else, I could talk to them about creating this, you know, hub of like,
right.
You know, you can have free Wi-Fi on the Sealand Foundation page, like when you go to the airport.
Right.
PDX free Wi-Fi. This would be Newport Sealand's free Wi-Fi. For the capture of...
You know, I will say we are going to be doing a full software upgrade on all the pay stations. We haven't done that yet. It's a, just a transition to a more modern software structure, and we want to map out that so we can do that during the off season. I did want to mention to you that, yeah, we are transitioning now. I'll be contacting T2 to switch over the mobile pay so that the last day that it's operated is the 30th of October. So Halloween is on Friday.
Oh, yeah,
it's
not that.
It's not going to be operating. And then I haven't had a chance to connect with Chief Mamoy, but our police department will handle the pay station side of it.
I know that we did have some guests that already thought that it was over because they saw October. Does the sign say October 31st through October 31st?
No, it just says May to October.
Right, and they all thought, I don't know why they were.
That was another big confusion.
Oh,
they thought it ended October.
They thought it ended October 1st. Oh, I mean, it was a lot of people that.
A lot of people.
That, because
that would make sense.
I think most people were thinking if it were to say May through October, as opposed to May to October.
Yeah, because they were thinking October through.
Yeah, so definitely.
Have a
date.
Which is the sign? If you read the signage all the way through, it does say weekends only, November through April.
Right.
So if you read it in full, then you would know.
Totally. Yeah,
then November 1st is
starting.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good of making the signs, you know, not super confusing.
Yeah, I always try to keep in mind that no matter what you do with signs, somebody's going to find that format confusing.
Totally.
What we have is a commonly deployed format. You'll see it in multiple jurisdictions, but and we're also with the off season, we're transitioning over the permitting, so moving forward again they go to the reduced permit rate as well. So I've got to program that in, and that's on my list of things to do by the end of the week, because we have a number of folks whose permits roll over towards the end of the month. That's when they would be doing.
You know, I don't think that we have the parking website on the C-Line page. If it would be helpful, we could add that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a link.
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy enough.
Yeah. I don't think we have it on there.
Okay. I didn't have anything else. We have public comment, but we have no public here for.
It's too dark now. They don't know. It's a winter hour.
Right. Well, if that's it, then we're good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Corin is transitioning.
I don't know about.